Kyle Draper has an update for us on the beam and whether it will be lit tonight should the Kings prevail in Anaheim over the Lakers.
Yeah, I just texted a source. Yeah, I went to the top. I texted my guy over there with the Kings. I won't tell you his name. He said, no beam during the preseason, just the regular season. So when we whoop up on the Lakers tonight, don't run outside looking for the beam. It won't be there. We're saving that for the real deal in the regular season.
I find myself mildly disappointed, but overall understanding that that's worth waiting for.
Yeah, you check your SMUD bill or PG&E bill lately, and a beam, it cost a lot, man. You know, those rates are high. You got to save it. No, I mean, you know what? It's the preseason. We're not playing for the
preseason.
Somebody
tell Dylan Brooks that, but I get it.
You know, the preseason is going to be fun. We're going to get the win tonight. It'll be nice. But Kings fans understand it ain't time to party yet.
Right. Just working
Kings. We'll play them the 29th, I do believe, we see the Lakers at Golden 1 Center. We'll fire it up then.
So who needs to play well tonight? All things considered, preseason, not even going to lie. It's not even beamable. This game isn't even beamable tonight, but who needs to play well for the Kings?
You said who needs. Operative word, needs.
Yes.
So I'm throwing out Fox, Sabonis. Those guys don't need. I'll give you somebody. I'm going to say Kevin Huerter. He had the shooting wasn't there in the series against Golden State. Didn't feel like he shot the ball well the other night against the Raptors. I would like to see a Kevin Huerter 4 or 5 three-pointer game. See him out there smiling again. And so he doesn't need to play well for a spot or anything like that. But that's a guy, you know what, for himself, he needs a good shooting game. So I would like to see Kevin Huerter play well.
I think Chris Duarte needs to play better.
He
should, but obviously that was not the way you want to get off to a start with your new teammates.
Yeah, and it'll be interesting to see Duarte tonight because Mike Brown alluded to this yesterday that Chris might play with the third unit. And so remember, we saw Chris Duarte in the second quarter with the second unit out there, and then Sasha was with the third unit after the half. And so it might be flipped. We might see an early Sasha sighting, first half sighting, and then a Chris Duarte sighting later. But I agree with you. You know, the thing about Chris Duarte, the spot is there for the taking for him. Like, it's not like, you know what, oh, man, there's no room for him. He's just, no, if he plays well, he gets after defensively, can knock down some shots, he's going to be in the rotation. And so when you say need, he needs to play well. If he wants a spot in the rotation, it's not guaranteed right now, and it's right there for the taking.
And it sounds like Sasha also needs to play better defensively.
Right.
He needs to if he wants to work his way as soon as possible back into the good graces of Mike Brown.
I can give you an early Drapes take. We're going to have that tomorrow. That's my thing. Please don't do it. Yeah, an ED. Yeah, an EDT. My mind went there. But, you know, an early Drapes take, and it won't be, ooh, Sasha hit 5 3-pointers. I'm not going to mention Sasha's offense. You may do that, Whitey, and that's okay. I'm not going to talk about Sasha's offense tomorrow. I'm looking defensively what he brings tonight. I don't care if he hits 6 threes. It'll be nice. It'll be great. It'll look good. But we know the guy can shoot. So I want to see him defensively.
Yeah, I just want to see him, period. I want to see the game. Sounds like there are some concerns about that all of a sudden.
Yeah, yeah.
I was assuming NBA TV were set.
Yeah, it might be blacked out in Sacramento. And so if that's the case, I'm going to have to go on a wild goose chase again to try and find it. Remember, because the Kings.com Live didn't work for me. And so I had to go through an alternate stream, if you will. And I got to see the opposing team's broadcasters broadcast at the Raptors.
Oh,
and so
okay.
I put out a tweet right there, man, because I was looking to go to a sports bar. But if it's blacked out, sports bars might not even be carrying it tonight.
Yeah, I'm just going to assume that we're good with NBA TV. Because we don't really know for sure of any reason why it wouldn't be, right? I mean, it's not televised
locally. Because it's not televised locally, right. That's a great question, man. I have no idea. But now there's this belief that, you know what? Let me text somebody and find out. Let me find out. That's how we do it. Exactly.
Yes.
So I'll find out for you.
And every time he says he's going to text somebody, you know who it is.
Who? Vivek's he's on vacation somewhere. He'll hit me when he comes back, you know? No,
Here's a guy I'm watching closely in the preseason. This might be a little wonky, but what do you think of this? I think it's incredible, fascinating anyway, to think that Colby Jones at 6'6 as a rookie has a chance to be the third point guard. Now, I know that whether he is or isn't is probably not going to have any effect on how well this team plays. But to think of this guy, a really good combo guard in college, if they're grooming him to maybe be a big point guard, he's rangy, he can shoot, that really excites me for the future. And it's not easy to do. You haven't played much point guard? All right, we'll teach you how to do it here in the NBA. Also, Jordan Ford's a great story.
Yeah.
But I'm really going to be watching closely, and Colby Jones did a pretty good job against the Raptors.
Yeah, and Colby Jones gives you something that you don't have, like you said, length.
Big
point guard,
yes.
You know? Somebody, you know, De'Aaron Fox is great, obviously. Davion's great. But they're not, you know, as long as Colby. He's listed at, 6'6", I think?
Yeah,
6'5",
so he's kind
6'6".
Of a project as a point guard for him right now.
Yeah, I think so. But I think he can handle it. I think, you know, when you look at his college numbers, I'm pulling up his college numbers right now. When you look at his college numbers, you know, he had 9 assist games, you know, 8 assist games last season. I mean, when you look at his numbers here, wow. He had multiple 8 assist games. So he sort of played it to an extent in college, but he's not your modern day point guard. You know, he's not shifty with the ball. He's not quick. He's sort of like, you know, an old school man. Who could I compare him to? Maybe an Alvin Robertson or, you know, even not this player, but a Penny Hardaway to it, you know, like
yes,
big.
I see that.
And,
I understand.
You know, kind of not as shifty, obviously, and not as talented and not Penny, but more of an oversized point guard. And so, I'm excited to see him. You know, we talk so much about that third point guard spot. I don't think that's going to be a difference maker.
No, not
you know,
this year. Like
yeah,
I said, it's not
going to
have any impact.
You know, I would not be shocked if Mike Brown runs Malik Monk at that third point guard spot, you know, where it's Monk and you know, Kevin Herter out on the floor at the same time. Well, who's the point guard when those two guys are on? It'll probably be Malik Monk.
Right.
So,
yeah,
you know,
he proved that last year.
Right, that he can do that. And we know he can drop dimes. He's a good passer. And so, but, you know, Colby Jones, I think when you look at his, I don't want to say natural position, but best position for in the NBA, I think, you know, the 1-2, like the point guard is where he could really make his mark because he's oversized. He's long. If he can knock down some shots, he can handle the ball as well. And so I think, you know, he could be a nice little backup point guard.
To me, the point guard position has really changed. We've seen the game evolve in so many ways. And we talk about how the centers, they kind of went away and now they're back, but they're shooting threes. Of course, you have stretch fours, which you didn't used to have. But the days of the pure point guard, there's still value for somebody who's just basically get you into your offense, and that's what they do. But the position has changed so much, and so much more is required of players if they want to be really elite point guards now. And you have to be one thing you have to be is more offensive minded.
Yeah, you can't just be one dimensional. You know, you look at the game's best point guards, they score the ball too. You know, like that point guard position, how much has that changed? Remember, you know, back in our day, it was the center that did. The point guard was just to get you into the offense, you know, rack up assists, not necessarily score 25 points per game. Nowadays, you know, you look around the league, everybody's looking for an explosive point guard, a point guard that can get you buckets. And so things have changed. But Colby would probably be a throwback to, you know, like I said, a guy that can, you know, get you into your offense, play great D, make the right read. Looking at his stats, he averaged 4.4 assists his last year at Xavier. So that's not bad, not bad at all, you know, 15 points. And so I think he could be that kind of combo guard.
So three guys that need to play better tonight, need to play well.
Yes.
Herter, right? We agreed. And also Duarte. And then Mr. Vezenkov has to play better defensively.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said, I'm not, you know, he may hit 4 or 5 threes, Kings fans. I know you'll feel great about that. I get it. I understand. But I want to see his impact defensively.
When we come right back, former NBA star Damian Wilkins is going to join us with a look at the upcoming season and his role as GM of Overtime Elite. We're right back with that. Drive Guys on Sactown Sports. Whitey Gleason and Kyle Draper. Drive Guys, thanks so much for being with us on the Kings pregame show. So we're getting ready, of course, for the Lakers and the Kings tonight in Anaheim. And I know I mentioned it yesterday, Kyle, and I don't mean to make people cringe, but as somebody who was here when Sacramento was fighting that fight to keep the Kings from going to Anaheim, I feel like it's something worth kind of pounding the chest about. Like,
oh, yeah, really?
They're in Anaheim, but they're the Sacramento Kings.
Right.
They were going to be the Anaheim Royals.
They were going to change the name Oh, man.
Yeah.
That would have been.
Yeah. Then that fell through, and then the whole Seattle thing fell through.
Here we are. Kings are still here. Okay.
Special guest going to join us now. By the way, all guests come to you from the Folsom Lake Honda Hotline. Folsom Lake Honda, your one-stop Honda shop. Damian Wilkins is a 10-year NBA veteran. I think he played for the Sonics against the Kings in the playoffs, and he's a general manager and head of basketball at Overtime Elite. The league is a subject of a prime series called One Shot Overtime Elite, and an episode of that show will be part of the Oak Park Black Film Festival tonight. Damian Wilkins joins us. Damian, how are you, sir? And who are some of the rookies we're going to see in the NBA this year from Overtime Elite?
Oh, thank you guys for having me, man. Appreciate it. Amanda and Asar Thompson, of course, you guys will see them. They were the number 4 and 5 picks in this past draft. Dominic Barlow plays for the Spurs. He's also a guy that came from Overtime Elite. Jay-Zion Gortman will be there. Jalen Martin will be there. All guys from OTE. So we're very excited about what we've done, what we've accomplished, and excited to see these guys and start their careers.
For the people listening who maybe aren't familiar, Overtime Elite, where are you guys based out of, and tell me about the upcoming talent that you have. We know about the rookies, but, you know, who are the next group of big names that we might hear about?
We're based out of Atlanta. You know, we got guys like Bryson Tiller, who is going to be a definite pro. Who else? Daquan Davis. Mm. Jaden Wilkins, my son.
Okay.
he's there. Ja'Kai Howard is there. You see a lot of him in the docuseries if you check that out. We got Ja Jackson. I mean, Jalen Lewis. We have a bunch of guys, man. We reloaded. We really did since that original talent, those first and second year guys left. We really went out and reloaded, got younger. So we'll get to see more of these guys. They'll be able to spend more time with us, so we'll get to see the full development. But I'm very excited about our new crop of guys.
Yeah, we're catching up with Damian Wilkins. He used to play in the NBA, of course. He's the GM of Overtime Elite. So in addition to educating fans about Overtime Elite and entertaining us this series, to what extent could this series be kind of a recruiting tool for you guys as well, Damian?
I think what it does, you know, first of all, it's a human docuseries, right? Like, it has human aspect to it. It's not just about high school basketball. It speaks a lot about perseverance, overcoming adversities, overcoming challenges, stepping into, you know, our ecosystem and with your own reality, right? And then having to be told what your reality actually really is, because everyone comes in there thinking that they're a first round pick. And, you know, until they get up against other alphas in the gym, and then, you know, they realize that, like, you know, well, man, I got a lot of work to do. Scouts, the NBA scouts and people that are making these decisions, they don't agree with what my reality is. So a lot of it is that, you know, just building these guys up and helping them, you know, from where they are and making them as uncomfortable as possible so they can grow as quickly as possible. But it's an amazing show, and what we do at Overtime Elite is second to none.
Damian, Kyle Draper here. You know, I'm looking at your playing career. Whitey talked about it, obviously. When you look at today's NBA, what stands out to you from versus when you played in the league?
It's faster. That's for sure. You know, I remember my rookie year. When I was in Seattle, we played against Sacramento in the playoffs. Like, our first round matchup was Sacramento. And, you know, when I think about it, Jerome James was like, like, that was like his coming out party. Like, Jerome James could never play. That Jerome James could not play in this league. You know, because it's just so much faster, right? Like, we were coming down and pounding the ball into him, you know, like he was having a great series. I think that series got him paid. That's what made New
right.
York
yeah,
Knicks. Yeah, the Knicks gave him that money off of that series. But like, I think about that now, and I'm like, man, like we could have never played that way in today's league. So it's a lot faster. I think guys are a lot more talented all around, like top to bottom. You got guys out there playing more positionless basketball. You know, you didn't see centers bringing the ball up the court either. And, you know, I say that, even saying that makes me sound like it was centuries ago that right. I was in the NBA, but it wasn't. It's just that's how fast the game has changed. But it's a very exciting game nowadays. It's a young man's game. Like, I'm not getting out there messing with those guys.
Damian Wilkins with us. When you, given, you know, the way you learned the game and you're dealing with these overtime elite prospects now, are there times when you might see something like a big bring the ball off the floor and there's part of you that wants to say, hey, you can't do that, but you realize, no, that's part of the game now.
Yeah, I mean, I've witnessed the game change a lot, so it doesn't really bother me. I actually like versatility.
Uh-huh.
So I like versatile guys. So for me, it's like, the one thing I will scream out is, you better not turn it over. like if you're going to do it, it better work. but I don't frown upon it at all. I let, like, for us at OTE, like, we let our guys, you know, let it all hang out. Like, go grow your games as much as possible. And, you know, maybe you weren't able to do that at the high schools that you came from, the respective high schools that, you know, prior to coming to OTE. But if you work on it, we let you do it. That's our rule. Like, if you don't work on it, don't do it. It's like the old Patrick Ewing meme
right,
video
right.
where he was yelling at the guy in the huddle, like, do you work on that shot?
Right. Hey, you're right about that. You're right. Damian, yeah, obviously your last name is synonymous with basketball. Your dad, Gerald, played in the league. Your uncle, Dominique, and you talked about your son as well. What has basketball meant to that Wilkins family, man? Tell me some of those stories growing up.
Man, it's been great for our family, man. Basketball is, it's for our guys, like, for instance, at OTE, right? Like, they get a part of me, they get the passionate part of me, you know, through that basketball experience that I've had through growing up through it. Like, I don't let these guys take any days off or any days for granted, rather. And I try to help them understand, like, listen, man, like, it's not promised to you, you know? And they like, well, I'm ranked this and I was the number one this. I'm like, I was too. Like, just in case you guys forgot or don't know, I was the number one ranked high school player in the country my senior year. I was also a McDonald's All-American, but I didn't get drafted. Like, I had to work my butt off for those 10 years that I got in the NBA. And I always tell them, like, you guys have to continue to show that work ethic. You have to show it every day. It's a dedication and discipline that, you know, you can't waver from. And that's what it's taught me. Like, that's what basketball being in my life has taught me. It's just, if you want it bad enough, you have to show it and prove it to yourself every single day. Like, there's a toll that you have to pay every day. Now, it's only 450 guys in the NBA, and it's millions of people trying to get in that door every day. And, you know, I think I understood that at an early age, thanks to my dad and my uncle and their experiences and the things that they taught me. And I just tried to learn as much as I can from them, not only on the court, but off, because I wanted my career to go as long as possible. I wanted to do things when I retired. I wanted to be in the positions that I am in now. And even when I look back on it, honestly, like, it's still surreal.
Damian Wilkins, when you played and 10 years in the NBA, it's quite an accomplishment. Who was the toughest guy for you to guard?
Oh my God. Kobe, obviously, you know, rest in peace. He was one of them.
How did you go about, what did you do? How did you even try to slow him down?
Well, I didn't talk trash to him, that's for sure. you know, I used to almost got in a fight with one of my teammates one time. I'm guarding Kobe in the corner, and he's like, lock him up. I'm like, bro, like, why would you say that? Like, why would you say that? Like, don't poke the bear. With Paul Pierce, as slow as he was one of the hardest matchups that I've had. Tracy McGrady, to me, like, I played against him in high school. The first time I played against him, I was like, this guy right here is amazing. So he's given me nightmares since my junior year in high school. LeBron, a freight train coming at you. I mean, I've had some matchups. Manu Ginobili.
Like, really? Really?
Year,
okay.
My rookie year, I got introduced to him after we beat the Kings. I don't mean to keep saying that we beat the Kings. I'm sorry. Yeah. Forgive me, Kings fan. But after we won that series, we our consolation prize was Spurs. And Manu Ginobili was close to prime Manu Ginobili at that time. And I remember Nate McMillan yelling down the bench, "Hey, rookie." Like, I was like, "Yep." He's like, you got Manu." I was like, "Damn!" Like, can I warm up first? can I warm up with Matt Bonner first? those are some great matchups, man. I learned a lot from playing against those guys. Man.
Yeah, just, that's awesome.
The game kind of slowed down when you guard those guys and you're not getting a play run for you.
Right, like, right.
It's like, what can I can't hit that.
That's amazing. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, Damian Wilkins, he's the GM and head of basketball at Overtime Elite. And as you may know, Overtime Elite is the subject of this Prime series called One Shot Overtime Elite. And an episode of that is going to be shown tonight, part of the Oak Park Black Film Festival. Damian, you're going to be out there, and I guess you're going to talk with Mayor Johnson after the showing,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I guess I'm answering some questions. I'm interested to know what episode he's actually showing because I don't know that yet, but... it should be fun. I know KJ is a pillar in this city. He's from here and done some great things in the city. So I'm excited. I'm excited about it. And we'll see what happens. It's going to be good.
Thank you very much for your time. We appreciate it. Congratulations on the success of Overtime Elite. We hope to talk to you again soon.
Appreciate it, guys.
And thanks all right, for all Dave. The mentions of how you beat the Kings in the playoffs. We appreciate that.
I didn't mention any of that. Sacramento, I didn't say anything about that.
Thank you, Damian.
Right,
we appreciate
Damian.
It.
All right, guys.
Yeah, that's Overtime Elite's been very productive in a
short
amount of time.
Yeah, in a short amount of time. You're right about that. Two top five picks this past year. Unbelievable.
That's great. I would love doing that. Oh, well, one time I had to guard Kobe. Oh, my goodness. We'll take a quick break. When we come back from the GM survey, which NBA change is going to require the biggest adjustment for NBA teams, and which one's going to impact the Kings the most as we roll on here. Drive, guys. Sactown Sports. Back to the NBA in just a moment. First, Kyle Draper so happy because the Phillies, in that bandbox of a ballpark they got.
Greatest ballpark in the league.
They jumped on the Braves, 6-1? I think it's in the fourth inning.
Yeah, 6-1, chasing them out of there.
Okay. So, all right. Yeah. Good luck hanging on to that.
You know, Philly right now is at a point, and you'll understand this. Growing up, Philly didn't win many titles. You had the Sixers. Philly's had 1980. But we had a long drought there for a while. Like, it was rough. And so to see the Eagles being competitive, the Phillies making it to the World Series last year, back in the playoffs this year, the Sixers being competitive, like, it's okay to hold your head high if you're a Philly fan right now.
Just when did any of those teams actually win anything, though? I'm trying to. Did they actually?
Eagles just won the Super Bowl, what, 5 years ago?
Five years ago.
All right.
Nick Foles.
Philly. Dude, he don't have to buy a drink ever again in the city of Philadelphia.
Speaking of quarterbacks, question. Simone, the poll that we have going, I'm allowed to vote on that, right?
No, you can't.
I think I'm allowed.
Of course. Everyone. We encourage everyone to vote in this country.
This is a democracy, so of course I'm allowed to vote on it.
I voted. I did vote also.
Oh, okay.
I am not going to reveal my ballot, Simone. I won't tell you guys who I voted for in our poll, which
and
QB
is so
playing
clear.
The best in the NFL right now. But I wasn't the only one who voted for this person based on these numbers. You got Allen, Mahomes, Jalen Hurts, and Brock Purdy.
Unfortunately, so. I'm unable to see the results right now. I see how many people voted, but can you share with us how it's looking so far?
All right. There's a tie for the bottom, tie for a third place.
Okay.
Allen and Mahomes. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
In second place, my guy, Jalen Hurts, 13%. And Brock Purdy leads the way with 70%. Simone and Jay are back there like this, you know, just voting time and time again. Unbelievable. But
I don't think they have to. That's the thing.
No, there's 23 votes right now, and it's been very balanced, very accurate.
Well, definitely accurate.
I want
this is a scientifically conducted poll.
I want the unbiased NFL fans. I'm not even going to just say Niners fans, because I'm an unbiased Eagles fan. So I voted. I need unbiased fans to go to our YouTube page, Sacktown Sports 1140, check out the Drive Guys show, and vote in this poll right now. Mm-hmm. Which QB is playing the best in the NFL right now? Purdy, Hurts, Mahomes, or Allen?
And in all fairness, I don't believe that was the actual verbiage that you signed off on.
Right, I didn't sign. I don't think anybody's arguing that Brock Purdy's playing the best right now, but I'm surrounded by Niners Nation in here. Bang, bang, Niner game. They're surrounding me, and so they twisted my words and said, of course, they slanted the poll so Brock Purdy would win. Come on now.
I mean, you could say that. That's one way you could see it.
What if I asked you this? What if I asked you this?
Yes.
If you could pick one quarterback to lead your team in the Super Bowl right now, Allen, Mahomes, Hurts, or Purdy?
Because it doesn't work that way.
How about the NBA GM survey? If you were starting your franchise with one player, if you were starting your franchise with one quarterback right now, don't even do that, Whitey. Don't do that.
It's a good question.
Don't think about that.
I mean, you got to consider all factors.
Oh my gosh, this is
you got to have a young guy, not making a lot of money now, so you can build a team around him. And a guy who's playing great. So maybe the guy that's played better in his 10 starts than like anyone ever would be a really good choice. I think that'd be the logical choice. Is there anybody that fits that description?
I can't have a logical Brock Purdy discussion with you guys. I can't have I'm trying to, elevate our sports knowledge here. So a real debate here. And I'm being hit by Simone in the back, Whitey in the front here. He's a good player.
Yeah.
I'll leave it at that.
Yeah.
He's a good player.
And then you got
player.
Jay giving you the Dylan Brooks, too.
I know. Jay giving me the side eye over there. He's like, hey, you're going to keep talking about my Niners. He about to come through and get me. It's all good.
Speaking of the poll, the GM poll, which change, this is a question the GM's answered, which change is going to require the biggest adjustment? And let me explain which changes we're talking about. In-season tournament, rest rules. And we also have, the flopping?
The flopping rule,
the extra coaches challenge.
65 game award rule, to be eligible for postseason awards.
So which of those do you think will be the most difficult for teams to adjust to? Will any of those, in your estimation, affect the Kings more than others? I don't think the Kings have a lot of guys that are going to be flopping, right? They don't have a lot of floppers.
Right. I don't think a lot of floppers.
They play a lot of games already.
They play a lot of games. In-season tournament affects everybody the same, I think. So it's not like it would affect the Kings any different. I could argue that extra coaches challenge. But that's going to impact everybody. But for Mike Brown to have that in his pocket, that extra coaches challenge, I think that'll be key. Tax apron restrictions, the new CBA, I don't think the Kings will ever be the Warriors, Celtics, where they just spend and spend and spend. Like, I think,
they don't worry about the apron.
Right. Yeah, exactly. The Kings won't have to worry about that. And we don't rest guys, like you said, so player participation policy won't impact it. I think the extra coaches challenge might be something that Mike Brown can use to his advantage. So probably that one.
Yeah, that makes sense. I can't decide how I feel about that because on the one hand, it's more fair than the old rule. But on the other hand, the old rule I thought was just really stupid. So
about
you get
the coaches challenge.
One challenge and good luck.
Yeah. And you were right. Like, you won the challenge, but yet, and then it made coaches have to decide, when do I use it?
Yeah.
Like, do I use it in the first half or do I have to save it late in the game? So this sort of alleviates that
yeah.
a little bit. You win it, you get it back kind of thing. So, I'll actually like this tweak that they made. I didn't like the way it was, like you just said, because and then some coaches would be okay with using it very early. And then the game would be closed down late and their fan base would be screaming at them, oh, I wish we had a challenge. And so maybe you don't have to worry about that now.
If I was a coach, and it's a little different now if you win, you get the second one, but I would try to limit my challenges to a play where one of my guys or one of their guys gets a foul and there's points involved. If it's like an and one, because then you got points going on or coming off the board, and you got a foul situation, to me, that's the best bargain if you're going to challenge.
So not like out of bounds or, you know, extra possession, though,
right.
out of it.
I mean, if it's
you know?
The end of the game and I haven't used it, obviously, But otherwise, if I can use it on an and-one situation that's going to help us out with the foul situation and also maybe hurt the other team with their points, those are the situations.
Are you a challenge fan, though? You know, I'm looking at baseball now with you know, challenges also that they can use as well.
We
take the human element, you know, like – think about all the calls in the history of sports that might have been changed if we had challenged, you know, from day one. I don't know if I like it, man.
You know why I hate it?
Tell me why you hate it.
I hate it because it shouldn't be a matter of gamesmanship. If I'm a manager or a coach now, I got to think, huh, do I want to challenge that? Is this a smart thing to do? When getting the calls right, that's just should be assumed. Everybody involved in the game, players, coaches, managers, they should all have an interest and make sure you get the call right. So why should it come down to, well, does he want to take this gamble here? Does he want to roll the dice? That shouldn't be a factor. Get the call right.
Right. But and to follow that up, and I'm a pile on that, Whitey, I get your point. But also, these challenges are coming down to super slow-mo replay. And so I get your point, get the call right. But in real-time live action, it's hard. There was a playoff game, I think it was last year or maybe even the year before. I think it was Warriors-Celtics maybe in the finals where an out-of-bounds, you know, it was called out-of-bounds one way. It said it tipped a player's hand and went out-of-bounds. Well, they went to replay and they slowed it down super slow-mo, and on second look, it went off the other guys. Now, that happens time and time again. Like, you think, oh, it goes off the one guy's hand, but where really, when you slow it down, it might hit a guy's fingernail or something like that. Mm-hmm. And so I didn't like that call. I'm like, we could, you know, really nitpick a lot of calls, you know, and I'm speaking about the NBA, you know, a lot of calls could go either way.
339-1140, 1-800-920-1140. Let's talk to Casey. You're on with the Drive Guys. What's up, Casey? Thanks for checking in.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up?
So I have an idea regarding the rest rule in the NBA. Didn't they – you might remember this, Whitey. Did they used to have an injured list in the NBA where you had to be out for 15 days back in, like, the 90s? Was that a thing they used to have?
Thank you for the call. I don't know. Like in baseball, you have, you know, 10 day or a 15
right.
day.
Yeah.
I don't think they did.
I don't remember that.
I'll have to check on that, Casey, but I don't think they did. And they, for years, and this really won't change much, will it, Kyle? You still have guys that are like, what's wrong? He's out with a sore foot. And if you talk to him, he's like, I'm fine. Right.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. And a lot of times it's the teams that, you know.
Remember Bill Winnington?
Yeah.
I remember when he was here once.
Yeah.
And he was on the injured list with a bad back. And I saw him, hey, how you doing? He goes, oh, I'm good.
But think about it. That's one thing you can always use, like bad back, stiff back, sore back.
And in a way, it's always true.
Right. It's always true. How do you test that? Like, how do you prove whether that's true or not or false or not? And so if Kawhi Leonard wants to rest, all you have to say is knee soreness.
Mm-hmm.
Bam. What are we going to argue then? You know?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, right.
When we come back, we'll take a look at the ESPN Top 100 players. Got some 49ers things to discuss at the top of the hour, too, as we roll on towards the Kings and the Lakers tonight. So Drive Guys on Sacktown Sports. Kyle Draper's pretty happy, as we said earlier, because his Phillies are winning 6-1. The problem, Kyle, is, for me, as a baseball fan, we've had so many games in this postseason that are just so one-sided. A lot of really one-sided, and there's nothing you can do about
that. Yeah, I was going to say, what can you do? And you've had teams that had great at regular season, 162 games. They were great looking at you, Baltimore Orioles, and you get bounced the way you just did.
Right.
It makes the regular season a little less important.
Yeah,
it's
absolutely.
Like, you know what? And we saw it with the Giants a few years ago. You went
162 game waste of time.
Exactly. And so, you know, you asked a question the other day with the WNBA finals, how would they rate against a baseball game? You know, and they're going against the Dodgers tonight. If it's a blowout in baseball, I could see people turning away. I could see people looking for other things to watch. Hopefully here in Sacramento, it'll be on NBA TV. We'll be able to watch our Kings. But these baseball games, usually in the playoffs with baseball, you get some memorable moments, like high leverage moments. We had it in game two, obviously, with the Phillies and Astros.
What was that again? I forget.
I forgot. You know, we're on to game three, you know.
All right.
As Bill Belichick said, I'm on to Cincinnati. We've moved on from that. That's in the rearview mirror.
Oh, yeah, that play.
Yeah, that play. Something we have never seen before in the history of baseball playoffs. But, yeah, usually, you know, it's October. You know,
we had sweeps in the first round. And
blowouts. And I forget the stat. What the stat was. You know, the three winningest teams during the regular season, those first three games, two or three games, they were being outscored like on average 5-1 or something. Like it wasn't even close.
No.
And so I'm not saying it has a problem or anything like that. It's just been kind of a dud, I think, so
it's
far.
It's hard to hang on to viewers.
When
that's what's going on. And if the Dodgers are out, if they lose tonight or they are bounced early, that's bad for baseball. I'm not a Dodger fan. There's, for a lot of us, especially Giants fans, you know, it's like, the Dodgers are out. But for baseball, if the Dodgers are bounced early, that's bad.
Yeah, I think so. Because the Dodgers are one of those teams, those franchises, they've reached a point where you either love them or you hate them. You know what I mean? Like, you
they're
know,
polarizing, they're polarizing, so you're interested one way or the other.
And you know, no offense to the Diamondbacks,
they're
but
not as polarizing.
Right. Hey, no,
you're like who?
Yeah, nobody cares about the. I'm sorry, Arizona, but yeah, no, nobody's tuning in to watch the Arizona Diamondbacks.
You know, I have a friend who actually is a fan of the Arizona Diamondbacks and the Jacksonville Jaguars. Well, he's got to be the only.
Why?
Because
did he grow up in a place that didn't have a team or something? Or?
Well, when he was a kid, I guess those were new teams. They both came into existence about the same time. Grant Yamasaki, who was a really good high school basketball player right here, and he said he just decided those are going to be my teams. And so they've been ever since.
Wow.
It's weird, the stories of why people become
fans.
Right,
right.
A lot of times, you know, it's like, well, I grew up there or my dad was, but some of the stories are kind of strange.
That is strange.
And yeah.
He readily admits that, though. Huh?
Yeah.
I'm a Jaguars fan.
I know a guy who he was a fan of the Steelers, and on Fridays at work, he would wear Steelers gear, so he was, you know, no question.
Yeah.
Real fan. So I asked him one time, why are you such a big Steelers fan? He said, well, my brother was a Cowboy fan. So I didn't get along with my brother.
Right, that's
and
awesome.
They were always playing
that's
the Steelers. Awesome. So to this day, you know, he was just black and yellow, black and yellow. We've been talking about this poll, the ESPN Top 100 NBA Players poll. And we found out today that it looks like there's only going to be three Kings in there. But I'm trying to look at it the other way, Kyle, because we've been looking at it from the negative standpoint. De'Aaron Fox is 23rd, and Sabonis is 22nd. Nobody's higher than that, only three Kings in the top 100. But you know what? There's a lot of really good players who rank behind those two in these lists.
Yeah, you're right about that. And you know, when I look at this list, for Fox and Sabonis to be ranked ahead of Kawhi. Like, that's shocking to me because a lot of people, you know, think Kawhi is, you know, we saw an NBA GM survey, you know, still one of the best defenders, a great player. But for De'Aaron Fox to be, you know, one spot ahead of him, ahead of Pascal Siakam, also Drew Holiday. I mean, and so as a Kings guy, I look for slights. I look for disrespect. But our two guys, we got two of the top 24 players, 23 players. Ahead of Kyrie, you brought up as well. Trae Young, you know, Ja Morant.
Yeah,
we talked about Ja Morant as well. Ja Morant fell back to 35. And so, you know, one thing that this poll or whatever, you know, rankings taught me is our guys are trending upwards. You know, we got guys who are moving up the ladder where, you know, a lot of these teams, you look at the Warriors with CP3 falling off a cliff, Ja Morant falling back. Is Kawhi Leonard really going to move up anymore? Like, I could argue his best days are behind him. Same thing with Paul George. Paul George, still a top 20 player, according to this ESPN poll. But I think the Kings, you know, with De'Aaron Fox, 26, Sabonis, 26, like, these guys are in the prime for the next 5 years. And so our guys are trending in the right direction right now.
Don't you think that was the thinking behind the extension for Sabonis now? Get it done, and you know that you have him for the foreseeable. And if you have him, you have part of the foundation of a team that should be competitive for years to come.
Yeah, I think so. And everybody's on the same timeline, too, contract-wise. And I think that that was important to Monty McNair. Like, you have your core locked up, and people are saying, well, why did you have to do Sabonis now? Why not? Lock the guy up. Don't have this hanging over him during the season. He's locked up. He's happy. His family's happy. They know they're going to be here for De'Aaron Fox. You know you got your running mate with you. Like, signing Sabonis early sends all the right signals if I'm Sacramento,
yeah,
you know, to my players.
Yeah, and the Warriors are hanging on, and they've got great players, and they've won multiple championships. But they were trying to have the two timeline thing going where they were competing for championships with their veterans at the same time developing the youngsters, and it didn't work, and they finally decided, well, never mind. So Wiseman was gone, Poole's gone, and now they're just trying to milk this veteran group
run
for all they can. And it makes sense, but obviously, you know, expired by date is approaching.
Yeah, and I said, you know, on the radio earlier this year, I said, you know, the Warriors will rue the day that they missed out and didn't develop, you know, Kuminga, Moody, Wiseman, because it's not like these guys don't have talent. As my Philadelphia Phillies go up 7-1 off after my guy Bryce Harper does what he does. Does what he does. It's the big fly out there, so the Phillies are up 7-1. But the Warriors, you know, Warriors sort of reminded me of, and you'll understand this, the Celtics in the late in the early 80s, where they were championship contenders, but yet they still had a high draft pick to go out there and draft Kevin McHale. It's like the rich getting richer. Or the Lakers, they, you know, they're champions, but they go out there and then get James Worthy in the draft. And so that was sort of what the Warriors' thinking was. You draft these guys, you're still competitive, and now these guys, you know, extend your window a little longer, and they whiffed on upside
instead of more solid picks.
Exactly. And, you know, when they were winning championships, I understand they won it, you know, two seasons ago, but during their heyday when they won 3 out of 4, they had solid veterans coming off the bench. They don't have that now.
Yeah.
They may have our guy Rudy Gay who may latch on with them, but it's just not the same now.
We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, how the 49ers, how they shut down Dallas, and how one 49er was rewarded for that. Drive, guys, Sacktown Sports.